Blog Talk Radio.
Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say good morning and happy Sabbath to you. We are still in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, New Testament, Discipleship, Part 7. I pray that everybody was able to get the prescribed rest on last evening. I pray that the word of the Most High blessed you last night and blessed me. And I'm just thankful that the Most High has allowed and awakened me another day that I might praise his holy name. We want to greet you in Pow Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I want to make a special call out this morning to Sister Lorraine and her family. They had a death in the family, a niece that was 21 years old and died from heart failure. She was suffering from, I guess, she had a kidney disease, and she was on dialysis, went for dialysis, and just never came back. Died of a heart attack, and we're not able to revive her. So we send out our prayers and condolences to her and her family, and we pray that Yah comforts them in this time of their lament. Because 25 is a very young age, and to, you know, to be suddenly taken, you go to the hospital to get, you know, treatment, and then you just never come home. That is actually what happened to my father. He was a little bit older, but, you know, he was on dialysis, and he went to the hospital. They were going to move the shunt that they do the dialysis through, move it to another part of his body, and when they moved that shunt, they are not able to anesthetize you. They're not able to, you know, to put you under. And so you feel everything that they're doing. And he was not able to take it and, you know, died on the table. So our condolences to the family, our heartfelt prayers, and as they have her funeral today and memorialize her, we pray that Yah keeps them safe in their travels to and fro, going from North Carolina to Pennsylvania and back. All right, that being said, if there's anyone else that needs prayer who is going through, you can always press the number 1, and we will be happy to pray for you and your family in these times. It seems like death is just in the air everywhere. Okay, just a second here. 651-336. Your line is open.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom.
Oh, this is Brother Obadiah's number. My phone.
Oh, okay.
My phone. But I was, this is Sister Rachel. I was asking for prayer because past couple of days I've been having, you know, really bad chest pain on my left side and stocking pain.
Amen. Amen. So let us all touch and agree even right now with our sister, because I think what your pains what came to my mind immediately was stress. And so whatever it is that's stressing you, we want to pray that the Most High give you peace in it, that he relieves your body of this stress and of this pain. So, Heavenly Father, we lift up our sister Rachel to you, her and her family. Father, give her peace of mind. Give the family peace. Let them all come to you. Worship you, obey your voice, and let them recognize that all things are in your hands and you are in control. And so we want to lay it at your feet, Father, on this morning. Give her peace of mind and relieve her pain. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen. All
Amen.
Right. If there's anyone else, we, you know, want to touch and agree that the Most High would deliver you from whatever you're going through on this morning. He's able. He's merciful to those that obey him. And we know that we are his obedient children. All right, if there are no others, we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith for this morning. Or just a minute, we got another hand to go up. Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
I just want to praise the Father because my ordeal that I went through, he brought me through
yes,
it, and I can feel stronger because of that. So I tell anybody
Amen.
That's this, keep your faith in the Father. Just keep
Amen.
Your faith in the
Father. Praise Yah.
Yes,
all
Lord.
Glory to the Most High Elohim, because that is a that is a statement of praise and faith. And when the Most High delivers us, it should increase our what faith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so,
amen
for that. That's a testimony within itself that, you know, we can
amen.
Be going through. And the Most High delivers us. You know, when we think that that we have no one cares and we are all alone, and the Most High shows us that we're never really all alone. He
amen.
Always have that ram in the bush for us.
Amen. And I love
it. Amen. All glory to the Most High Elohim.
Amen.
All right. If there's anyone else, again, all you got to do is press the number one and, state your case or state, what you want prayer for. But, we're going to pray with you also, Mother, that the Most High continues to be there for you and that to give you only the peace that he can provide.
Amen.
Nobody can give us peace like the Most High does when we know that he is with us.
Amen.
So we pray that your continued peace in the Most High Elohim.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
All right. Amen. All right. If there's no other requests, then we're going to go ahead and move forward, do our statement of faith. Let me pull this up. Before we do that, let me do this update, and we can take care of the Most High's his business on this morning. I'm going to go through, cleanliness is next to godliness, the scriptures say. And because I had come up positive for COVID, I didn't really want to do anything with these plants. But I can only do the best that I can do, so I had to order some more equipment. I was going to order anyway, but it just made it doubly important, like the plastic food handlers, gloves, and things like that, because I want to be in the habit of doing everything decent and in order and clean. And so, I always wear a mask anyway, but the food handler's gloves, they should have come in yesterday. And so once I start handling these plants and harvesting, I just want to try to keep things as clean as possible. And then even when, the test is negative, want to keep these practices in place, because when you're packing food and sending it out to people, whether it's vegetables or whatever it may be, I want to know that, if I'm getting something from somebody, that they have taken all precautions. And so therefore, I have to take all precautions in harvesting and packing and, even mailing. So I ordered the food handler's gloves, the disposable ones. You get like a 500 or 1,000 in a pack. And I'm going to start harvesting these plants because they're overgrowing, and some of them are just trying to take over. And so I'm going to have to rearrange some things. And I think I'm going to transplant my collard greens outside. I'm going to take them out of the hydroponic system and transplant them outside. We haven't had a hard freeze here, so whatever I harvest off of them, we'll have to use the vinegar or whatever when we cook them to try to cut down on the bitterness of them. But supposedly with collard greens, if you allow them to go through a hard freeze, like, outside, we haven't had one here yet in Arizona, in the valley. We usually get one, where it's 32 degrees or below for one night, sometimes a couple of nights, but that's it. I expect that these would, they look beautiful. They really do. I need to set out a picture. You know, the leaves are, they engulf my hands. You know, they're that big. They're just huge and beautiful. Color on them is great. But I'm going to go ahead and harvest them because they're just taking over. And then tomato plant just took over, went from one bed to another bed and started killing stuff. It was, you know, just crowding out everything. And while I was, you know, quarantined, I didn't have a chance to, you know, keep my eyes on it. So when I did come down, I had to cut it back. And some of the plants started to brown out because they were just being smothered by this tomato plant. So, you know, we're going to, I cut it back, and then, you know, there's a bunch of tomatoes on the plant. I'm not sure. I need to do a little bit of research to find out how to make them start to turn red. I'm thinking it's in the fertilizer mix, but I've noticed that there's been a few on there for a minute that, you know, they're green, but they won't turn red. So we're going to look into that. Now, but I'm going to take that plant as well and either put it in its own system by itself because it's just humongous, or I'm going to transplant it also outside in the dirt and, you know, put a trellis around it and let it grow up, you know, outside. It hasn't been extremely cold. You know, I'll have to think about that one. I know that the collard greens I will. I'm going to harvest all of the lettuces and things that have you know, they're ready, they're past ready. So I'm going to harvest those, and I bought one of those machines that, you know, allows you to take the air out of the bag when you pack it. And so this, since these have been, you know, I think I had an ant infestation, and ants aren't bad. It just depends upon what type of ants they are. These aren't bad ants, but you know, they got into the system, and you know, they were kind of all, you know, running along the bed. So I'm just going to use some cinnamon. Use cinnamon outside to control them, and so I'm going to use some cinnamon. You know, I have powdered cinnamon. And, you know, you just sort of puff it onto them. When I say puff it, not like smoke it, but there's a container that comes with, like, diatomaceous earth. And I don't know if you've ever heard of diatomaceous earth, but it's supposed to be good for you. And at one time when I was in New York, I was drinking, like, a glass of this every morning. But it's good for cleaning out your system. And, you know, microbes and you got any parasites, they just can't. This stuff is so fine that it actually cuts them up. It doesn't cut you up, but it cuts them up. And so even in a powdered form on, you know, on your plants or on anything that you have, if you sort of put this diatomaceous earth on it, it actually kills those, whatever it is, whatever pest it is, even ants. So I was, you know, I have the diatomaceous earth, and I also have the cinnamon. But I think I was going to use the cinnamon because it's just, you know, will retard, cause them not to come around. The strawberries are struggling some, you know, hadn't been able to keep an eye on them. I cut them back, and some of them are starting to grow up more. Some of them are struggling. But I will, you know, take pictures, you know, for documentation's sake, and then see what I need to do to, you know, to try to bring these back. I harvested the strawberries that were there. They were very sweet. You know, each reiteration of them, they are getting bigger. But they're also struggling. So we'll take a look and see, you know, what we have to do to revive these. Let's see, what else? The microgreen kits. You know, as I said, one of the things that I learned, and I didn't keep it the way I should, but I'm going to the second time around, is to stay on top of the watering. These seeds suffer a lot of water, and they must be watered. From what I've experienced, they must be watered every day. If not, they will drink up all the water, and then the heat lamps or the lights will dry them out, and they'll fall down. But I think what has happened, I revived them 2 or 3 times, revived them where they fell down, and then, you know, I watered them the way they were supposed to be watered, and they came back up. But then I think that they have used up all of the energy that was available to them in the seed, and so they're not going to come back again. I will take the pictures, and I'm just going to throw these, you know, end up throwing them in the compost pile as, you know, the first test. And then I'm going to do it again, for documentation and clarity, and, you know, making sure that I'm putting down there how much water, so forth and so on. Has to be, you know, like I said, it's not really intensive. It's just, you know, got to pay attention to details. And what I've learned is, like I said, you have to, can't miss a day watering them. They got to be watered. The kits appear that they will work out fine as far as mailing and, you know, the output that you get in a kit. It seems that it will, you know, be doable. I still have to, you know, the most expensive part of this seems to be the mailing cost at this point. I, you know, will have to go to the post office and make sure that, you know, I can get the cheapest and the most economical way to mail these. If I can get it down to a certain price, then it will be economical to do it. I'm still going to send you sisters out a kit. I believe I have everything that I need now as far as packaging goes, you know, the little packets to put the seeds in and what have you. So we will continue to proceed with this. Still want to, you know, have as many as are able to come down for Passover, to spend Passover on the land, and that's coming up probably April. I have to look at the date, March, April time frame. To, you know, just spend Passover and whatever time we can on the land. Sanctify the land, walk the land, you know, just like Abraham walked the land. If I have to go and do it by myself, you know, that's what will be what will happen. But it is my desire that some of the saints are able to come down and to, you know, help dedicate the land to the Most High and help to claim it for us and that we would be fruitful in it and that the Most High would bless us in our endeavors. On this land. So I got to, you know, go and buy a truck. And I'm not looking for an expensive truck, but I'm going to need a truck to be able to haul stuff up there. You know, I have electric generators and things like that already. I have to start making more money to fill in on the money that I'm actually spending every month, you know, so that I don't run low. You know, so I can start doing the work on the land and, you know, going up there and maybe spending a week at a time on the land doing those things that are necessary. So, you know, Yah is good, and, you know, I pray that those of us who see the vision, you know, that we buy into it, that we are able to support it as much as we can. But I would really like to, you know, bring you down for a Passover and, you know, make it to where until we're able to actually move on to the land permanently, you know, that the feast days, we can't go to Israel. And, you know, I could go to Israel. I don't, as long as the Gentiles are there and doing what they're doing and the laws that are in place there, I don't feel the need to actually have to go to Jerusalem. Nevertheless, you know, the Most High has said that his kingdom is global and Jerusalem will be the headquarters. But we are to be establishing his kingdom in every country and land that we're in. And we're to be taking territory, winning souls and taking territory. So, you know, we will live by the statutes, laws, and commandments in our observance and everything, especially when we are on the land. We should be doing it anyway. But we want to have, you know, dedicated space for ourselves that we know everybody who's here, we love the Most High, and we are living according to his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. And we are going to practice, you know, what we preach. We're going to practice what we have learned. And we're going to worship and serve the Most High that way in our dedicated space. And when we are able to live on the land, and we will live that way, you know, as a permanent part of how we live, grow our own food, have our own shelter, our own electricity, our own utilities, that we are in control of. And, you know, everybody, you know, when things in society break down, then we will be prepared, because these things and these times are coming very quickly. You know, somebody sent me a video, I don't know if it was on TikTok or whatever, it was on YouTube, that the IRS is now wanting, you know, facial recognition of everybody that deals with them. So, you know, they're starting to build up their databases so that not only do they have, you know, your personal information, but now they got a picture that they associate with you. And the time will be coming where, you know, they're going to say, you have to take this mark, or else you can't buy or sell, can't work for anybody. You know, even now with this COVID, you know, even though the Supreme Court said it's unconstitutional for them to make shots mandatory for everyone, the truth of the matter is a lot of these businesses for financial purposes are going to make it to where, I know, one sister told me that, you know, they're requiring them to show their shot records, their immunization records, especially going back into the office. Or if they don't require you to take the shot, then they require you to be tested every day at your expense. And the insurance is going to say, hey, we ain't covering that. You can just get a shot and then be done with it. So the insurance company is not going to cover it. And then you're going to be having to come out of your pocket for these tests, and these tests aren't cheap, to prove that, you know, you're not positive. So they're going to make it one way or the other. They're going to bring you under the system. And so, you know, the only way around that is that you are self-sufficient, that you don't have to rely on the system. Even though, you know, when we get sick medically, you know, we have to have a way of, we count totally on the Most High, or we have to have the knowledge to how to treat certain things, and then it's in the Most High's hands. If he don't desire that you die from it, then he will keep you from it. If he desires that you come home, then you'll come home. That's, at least that's my position on it. All before, every time I got sick, they would say COVID would not be COVID. When I touched, you know, my mother-in-law's body, went around that side of the family, was in the hospital, and the hospital had COVID. You know, the worker there, I forget what they call him, but he was like a pastor, you know, that works in the hospital and comes around for when, you know, people have death in their family. You know, he's saying COVID was just rampant all through the hospital. So that, you know, I could have gotten it from there. Even though, you know, I made sure that I had my mask on and made sure that I used the hand sanitizer and, you know, I went and got a cup of coffee, but and it could have come from that. You know, anything is possible. But, you know, I wasn't around anyone but him, and he was around the rest of the family. Only one that came has come up positive, at least right now, has been me. So I said, okay, Most High. But, you know, it didn't give me any symptoms, just a, kind of a shortness of breath, but I was having that before. And that has cleared up now. So, you know, I'm thanking the Most High for keeping me safe in this thing and for not allowing the fullness of it to come upon me, and that he is faithful to his word. Now, I took one of those home tests that said positive. I could have gone to the hospital. They said, no, you don't have it. But, you know, I didn't really want to go back up in the hospital because, you know, it is just a hotbed of disease in there. Everybody that's there is sick of something. So I didn't want to, you know, I only went because of a death. Other than that, you know, I got to be deathly ill to even go to the hospital like that, emergency room or what have you. So, you know, even as I said, as we go to the land and we are separating ourselves, then the Most High, you know, will also send people with those gifts. You know, the gift of healing, discernment, you know, we'll have to use natural remedies, herbs, and things like that to keep ourselves healthy and to heal ourselves. But, you know, we have to, if we don't already know those things, then we have to learn them and grow them ourselves and so forth and so on. So that's our update, you know, as far as the hydroponics and the food growth. As I said, I will take, before I harvest, I will take pictures and I'll show you some of the damage done, you know, when the plants overgrow themselves and they start taking over, you know, they will starve out other plants from light. It's not really the water, it was the light that they were being starved from. Having to make sure that, you know, stay on top of it or give these plants, particular type of plants, their own space so that, you know, they're competing with each other. You know, tomato plants can probably compete with tomato plants, you know, and collard greens can compete with collard greens, so forth and so on. And then understanding that when you are giving the plant everything that it needs, it can get huge, you know, and real quick. And so this is what has happened. And it's a good thing, but, you know, going to have to harvest on a more regular basis and, you know, not let things get out of control so that, you know, when it's time to harvest, go ahead and harvest. As I said, I had, you know, had to make sure that I had the means to preserve, because some, you know, you get so much that they're going to eat it all at once, and you want to have a way to preserve it. And I have chosen to use the food saver method where you cut it, you don't even wash it, you don't wash it yet, you wash it when you bring it out to actually start to use it. So you cut it and you put it in these food saver bags, and then you suck all the air out, and that will preserve them for a long time. You know, put them in the bottom of the refrigerator or in the freezer. And because there's no air in the bag, then they will stay longer. So I will also show you that process. Had done this years ago with, you know, when we were not even in hard times or, you know, preparing for anything. It was just a matter of, we would buy in bulk, and then we would use these food saver bags to you know, stock out the freezer and to preserve things longer, even your meats and everything. They will stay longer if they're packaged with no air in, you know, in the pack. That, you know, everything keeps longer. So I'll show you that process as well. And this is, you know, how I'm going to keep these vegetables, and, you know, as they are harvested, until I start selling them, and so forth. Anyway, that's the update that I promised, and let us go ahead and. I've forgotten what I've done. We'll start with our statement of faith, and we will move on from there on this morning. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father, hallelujah, 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 Father. We just thank you and glorify you and lift you up. We magnify thy name, O Yah Elohim. We glorify thee and we thank you on this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are my Elohim, my Redeemer, and my Savior. Neither will I not bow down to you, O Father, but you and you alone, for you are Elohim, all by yourself. And we just want to thank you on this morning, Father, for keeping us safe and allowing us to come and worship before you and to honor you on your day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. All glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Oh, and let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that we, your people, should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that we, your people, have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear our prayers and our supplications. Deliver us from this captivity. Keep us safe from all hurt and harm. As we, your people, Father, seek you out We pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Mashiach, that they would come, hear your voice, repent and be baptized, and obey. Now, Father, as we go to work into the kingdom on this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to, I want to get Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 on this morning. And I want to get Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar.
Selection of songs you're about to hear are sung in the ancient tongue of Hebrew, Lashawan Kodash, which means a holy tongue. For our forefathers told us in their writings that the things uttered in Hebrew and translated into another tongue have not the same force in them. And not only these things, but the law itself and the prophets and the rest of the books have no small difference when they are spoken in their own language. Qam lama al yasha'ala, which means to rise, O Israel, and prepare to hear the words of the Most High sung in the ancient tongue of Hebrew. This is the tongue of the children of Israel. And when you search throughout the scriptures, all the original texts were written in the language of Hebrew and describe our forefathers and the children of Israel. As it says in the Songs of Solomon, Ani Shakur, I am black. And it also says in the book of Revelation, as it describes our Lord and Savior, who we call Jesus Christ, but whose Hebrew name is Yehoshua, because he is deliverer, to help us in these last days to return back to who we are, the children of Israel. So as you prepare your spirit to partake of the holy tongue of our forefathers, open your heart, your mind, and your soul, and receive these words in the ancient tongue of our forefathers, the tongue Lashawan Kodash, the holy tongue in the language of Hebrew. Shema, which means to listen. Shalom.
Shining hour, my own bright Kayalan hour. Come. Let me have a little bit.
Chapter 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, from the Word of the Most High on this morning. And we will be starting in verse 8, picking up on last night where we left off at. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5, starting in verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you the light in Yah. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto Yah. So in these verses, verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness. That means that we walked in sin. We walked not according to knowledge. So we walked according to the knowledge of this world, which is dark, teaching us things that were contrary to the Most High. He says, but now are you light in Yah. Your nature has changed, or supposed to have. You're supposed to understand that your strength comes from Him. Everything that you are going through, that we go through, we have to understand, we have to turn it over to Him. He is our strength. He is the reason that we are. We exist because of Him. And once we come to this truth and this knowledge, then things that we go through, we may not understand why we're going through them, but a lot of times it's for our own perfecting. Maybe we're walking in doubt in some area. We're walking in unbelief in some area. We are trying to control a situation for which Yah is in control. And so we just have to learn to give it to Him and let His will be done. Walk as children of light, of knowledge, of righteousness. For the fruit of the Spirit, not your fruit. Because see, this is where sometimes I take issue with some people, some organizations. They want to claim the fruits of the Spirit, never have been baptized in the Spirit. And then they want, because they're trying to be good. You know, in and of ourselves, we can try to be good people. We can try to, you know, do all those things that are, the scriptures say, are necessary. And you can do it. But it doesn't mean that it's the fruit of the Spirit, because in order to have the fruit of the Spirit, you must have the Spirit of the Most High. You have to be baptized in His Spirit. That's why He says, don't try to, if you haven't been baptized by His Spirit, then don't try to boast in your works. Because it's just you trying to do good. But your nature, your true nature, and yourself is still carnal. So the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. It's important what we believe. It's important what we understand. It's more so important what we do. And if you are acting and doing out of truth, then this is what the Most High, this is what pleases him. It, you know, when we believe a lie, he says you can believe a lie and it be, you know, it seems true to you, but it's a lie. And it will take you to the lake. And sometimes he causes us to believe those things because we have chosen somewhere in our life to believe an untruth. And even when people come and teach us the truth, we can't hear it, we can't receive it, we can't repent, we can't turn away from, because we have made this thing so fundamental to our core beliefs that we just can't let it go. But it's not truth. So he wants us to do it in righteousness and in truth, no matter how much it hurts. You know, there's a lot of things that the scripture has taught me about myself that it was ouch. But I had to repent, had to turn away from it, had to turn toward what the Most High says and do what he says do. Proving what is acceptable unto Yah. Not what's acceptable to us, but what's acceptable to him. Is this okay by Yah? If I do this, is this going to be acceptable and pleasing to him? We have to, and in order to know that and to do that, he has given us his word. He will come to us and speak to us in dreams and in visions. He'll speak to your mind. He will reveal things to you and to I. But we got to be seeking him. And then we got to be able to accept when he speaks to us. We got to be able to hear that small, still voice. We got to check things in because he wants us to do it in righteousness and in truth. What is acceptable to him? And when you know it, then when somebody teaches something contrary, they say something contrary, we know it immediately in our spirit. That ain't right. You know, and whether they are trying to be intentionally deceitful or whether they're just unlearned or whether they have been caused to believe this, you know, you have to listen or deal with them to understand where they are coming from. You have to be able to discern. But our strength in everything comes from him. So we have to find out what is acceptable to him to be his disciple. Yeah, you know, I think X. Is that acceptable to you? Like I said, I'll give you a classic example. It really was in my heart to offer a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice to the Most High. Not for sin, because I know Messiah is the only offering we need for sin now. But I also know that all sacrifices were not for sin. And so, you know, I'm mulling it over in my heart and in my mind. I'm like, you know, I can build an altar of dirt, not put no, you know, don't put any tool to it, and buy a goat or a baby sheep or whatever and make this sacrifice as a sweet smell, as an offering to the Most High. Then he showed me in his word, don't do it. Now, you know, I was wondering what was keeping me from it. But he showed me in his word, you can't do this. Not even if you think it's a sweet smell in my nostril, not if it's from your heart. I have already ordained that you have to bring your sacrifices to the door of the temple. And if the temple doesn't exist, you can't do this. It is sin. And the only thing I could do was say, yes, yes, Yah, and repent. It's something that I thought to do, but he had to show me, no, don't do it, no matter what the intent of your heart is. I don't allow it. It's not acceptable to me at this time. There's going to come a time when I'm going to reinstitute the temple and the altar and the animal sacrifice in Messiah's kingdom. That time is not yet. So don't do it. So, you know, we might think that we're doing a good. We have an intent to do a good because we want to do something, offer the Most High something that is pleasing to him. It's acceptable to him. And it seemed right. Could not find anything until he showed me. No, you can't do that. So the only thing I could do was repent. I'm sorry, I will not do this thing. I will honor you the way that you want to be honored. I won't do what's right in my own heart, in my own eyes. Because, see, I could have gone ahead and done that thing and said that, you know, I felt that it was acceptable to the Most High. But he himself made sure that I found out that, no, this is not acceptable to him. So in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto Yah. We've got to check it in. We've got to make sure that whatever we're going to do, whatever we want to do, concerning him, that what? It's acceptable to him. So I'll give you my own example. You know, what was in my heart to do? And I was going to do it. And he says, no. He had to show me in the scriptures. No, you can't do that. I had to review his law, his covenant, to find out what was acceptable and what was not. And so as his disciples, we have to find out what is acceptable unto him and do that. You know, it's like you having a husband or a wife, and they never ask you what's pleasing to you. Now, this is your husband or your wife, and they are supposed to be, you know, your best, your other half. You two become one, and this is your other half. And so they should know what pleases you and what doesn't, but they never ask you, and you never tell them. Then you're wondering why you're unhappy, and they're wondering why they can't make you happy. Because they never found out what was acceptable to you. This is the same thing with the Most High. Got to find out, here in this relationship, what's acceptable to you and what is not. What pleases you and what doesn't. And don't go by your own understanding. Read his word. Stay within his word. Take his word to him. Father, reveal this thing to me that I might understand it in my heart and do that which is pleasing unto you. So, you know, the Most High, like I said, I don't claim to be perfect. I don't ever want anybody to ever even think that I'm trying to put myself in that category, because I do not. And as I said, there's some, you know, I use me as an example because I was in the world. And I know what that is about. And there are things that even after being in the Word that I wanted to do, that the Most High had to say, no. Don't defile or corrupt yourself that way. It is not acceptable to me. You might think that you're trying to do a good, but it's not a good. It is in your eyes, but I have already judged on this matter. So find out what my judgment is and walk in it. This is what our forefathers failed to do. This is what a lot of us fail to do today. We will say we keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. But we don't keep his judgments. And what he has already judged on, You can't change. You can't overrule the Most High. You got to understand this as his disciple. This is what he judges on. This is what's acceptable to him. In this situation, this is what's acceptable to me. I have already judged on it. I have already given a word on it. I have already spoken. So you want to appeal? You can appeal to me. But don't be surprised when the answer comes back as no, because I've already spoken on it. Who knows? I might repent. I might. But don't you try to make it to where I repented and I didn't. I didn't have a change of heart toward that. I already judged it. And because it's you, don't make it, you know, don't make that you're the exception to the rule. Unless I tell you specifically, and you know that I have spoken to you on this, that you're going to be the exception, don't make yourself the exception. Fall in line with my word. And then if I repent and this thing turns out differently than what you thought, and it turns out for your good, then you know I repented. I did it. Because you know what my word, my judgment has already been on this. So find out what is acceptable to Yah. And then do that. Don't go by your own understanding. Don't go according to your own, you know, what you think. 99, you know, what I have found, if you truly study his word, 99% of whatever you want to know or need to know has already been answered. It is written already in the scriptures. So you have to seek him out. And sometimes it's not addressed from the standpoint of whatever you may be thinking. But it's been addressed. And you have to ask the Most High to show you, how did he address it? From what standpoint? Let's go to verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Correct people on it. But you know what? Don't keep harping on them. All you got to do is tell them once. I don't care if it's your friend, your husband, your wife, your child. Tell them once. If you know you're telling them the truth, tell them once. And then give it to the Most High. And tell them, you know, hey, I ain't got nothing to do with you in this thing. Because you're choosing to do what you're choosing to do. And when the reward of what you're doing comes, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to pray for you, always. But when you start receiving the payment for what you're doing, don't come to me because I've told you. And I don't want none of that with it. Because see, a lot of times we know that we're not supposed to be getting involved in something. And when we get involved in it, then we start getting whipped. We start getting some of those licks. Most High is dealing with that person. And now they're going through. And a lot of times they got to go down to the bottom of the barrel to where the only way they have to look is up toward Abba. He has to break them completely down. And when we try to save them from that, we interfering in his business, in his work. And we don't want to see nobody go through that, especially, you know, a child, our own child. But sometimes we got to just let it go. Most High is going to have to deal with you in this. And when he does, I'm not stepping into it. I don't want to get hit. And if they don't draw closer to the Most High so that he can teach them and bring them out, then usually it will destroy them. But that's not your business. You just keep praying for them. Yah knows how to bring somebody out of something, how to deliver them out of something if he chooses to deliver them. If they show him that they want to be delivered, he knows how to do it. And so, you know, it's hard, can be hard, but I had to learn. Had to learn when do you get involved and when you don't get involved. Let me give you the secret to that, because the secret is just looking at Israel. Anytime Israel was not doing what they were supposed to do, the Most High would send them into captivity. He would send us into captivity to teach us a lesson, to humble us. And then when we would call out to him with sincere hearts, he would deliver us out of that captivity. And then there were times where our enemies came against us, and it was not the will of the Most High. And they captured us, and they took us into captivity. And the Most High delivered us from that. We didn't have to call out to him because we hadn't done anything wrong. He would see that, oh, you messing with my baby. Let me come against this king. Let me tear down his kingdom, that he be not a people anymore, to afflict my people. And he would deliver us. But we have to be able to discern, was this person sent by the Most High into captivity? Meaning that, you know, they're going to jail, they are going to suffer these things because he's trying to get them to what? Change and repent, to see the errors of their ways. Or is it the enemy coming to take them captive and the Most High didn't call for this? You have to be able to discern that. So when you talk to them and they claim they know what they're doing, they claim they know right from wrong, you give them the word of the Most High, you have to watch and see what they go through. Then you'll know whether it's from the Most High or whether they are, you know, whether they are taken captive. Whether they were sent into captivity or whether they were taken captive outside the will of the Most High. And if it's, you know, outside of the will of the Most High, then you can help. But if it's the Most High sending them there, you better not get involved, and not unless you just want to get beat up too. You have to leave it with him. Let him do his perfect work. Let's continue. So reprove them. That is not of the Most High. And don't try to beat them down with the word of the Most High. Tell them once. Trust me, they hear you. Whether they want to accept it, whether they want to do it, whether they want to continue in what they're doing, that's a whole other matter. But you have done what you're supposed to do. For it is a shame even to speak those things which are done of them in secret. See, here's what, you know, how sin works and how darkness and evil works. Those things that have come into the light that you know about, of yourself or of this person or persons, for every work that you know about, trust me, there's probably two or three that you don't know about that is done in secret. That's why he says, don't have any fellowship with them. You just saw that one thing or those two things. Where there's smoke, there's what? Fire. So, you know, when it first happens, you know, it might be true. They slip, they fail. When it starts to be, you see that this is an ongoing thing, then, and, you know, it's ongoing, and you know 3, 4, 5, 6 times, then that's the 3, 4, 5, or 6 times that you know of. What about all the other times you don't know of? Because they did it in secret. And the other things they did in secret, but you found out about them. But the other things that they've done that have not been revealed to you yet, that have not come out into the light yet, you don't know. But trust me, if this is their nature, what you know of is only the tip of the iceberg. So he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does not make manifest, for whatsoever does make manifest is light. Whatever brings the truth out, that's light. The Most High will cause those things to be shown, to come forward. So try to keep it hidden. But, you know, you do enough dirt, sooner or later, it's going to come to what? Light. And whatever brings it to light, whether it's their friend, whether it's the law, you know, somebody saw them and tells on them, that is the light. That is what's making man, making it known. Wherefore, he says, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, as Christ, Mashiach, shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We got to, you know, do everything we can to do right, to use our time to do right. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. You look outside in this world and you cannot really see. But from the world's perspective, even from those who say that they're doing good and right, to see real, truthful good. You know, there's a song. It's called A Billion Times. And I love this song. And I had to go get the lyrics. And, you know, because a lot of times when you hear something, you can get caught up in the emotion of, you know, the feeling that the song invokes and what have you. And so I went and got the lyrics. And still love the song, but there's some things that I would change about it. And so I started to, you know, go about doing that. Beautiful song, but some of the things that it says are just not true. And in everything we're supposed to do it, we're supposed to do it in spirit and in truth, even in our worship. So, you know, I got the lyrics to this song. I'm, you know, reading them and I'm singing them. And then I, you know, I read this stanza or this verse and I'm like, because men aren't teaching the truth and they teach falsehoods. People write songs and they write these falsehoods right into the songs. And it sounds good. It really does. It sounds good. But it's false. And if you don't know it's false, then, you know, I could have very well incorporated that into my spirit and into my understanding. And then it would, in a way, it could become part of my teaching. Because I ate it, if this makes sense. I ate it, and I took it in. But because Yah has brought me up in this word, then I recognize, well, you know, That sounds good, but it's not actually true. And so, you know, I changed the words and rewrote, you know, a couple of stanzas to what I understand to be the truth. Still messing with it, but the vast majority, the main part of the song so encourages me. And so it does put me in front of the Most High. And I can't deny that. But, you know, certain parts I'm like, no, that won't work. Can't sing that. So let me revise the wording so that it is acceptable to Yah. So redeem the time because the days are evil. And remember, truth of the matter is you can only save yourself. Can't save your husband. Can't save your wife. You can't even save your children. You can only teach them and then pray for them. Let your life be the example. Don't let your life be contrary. Don't say one thing and then be doing another. Because we know that's mass confusion right there. So we have to be the example. And we have to stay true to it. Verse 17. Therefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of Yah is. He said before in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto Yah. Verse 17. Understanding what the will of Yah is. You have to seek him out. You have to find out. Then you, if you don't understand it, then you got to go before him and ask. Show me. Send somebody to me to tell me so that I might understand what is your will. Sometimes we can hear something and we still don't understand it. It's not in a way that we can consume it. We can't eat it. Can't take it in and digest it and make it part of us because we don't understand. But if we ask the Most High, reveal this thing to me in a vision, in a dream. Send somebody to me to tell me what is your will so that I might understand it. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Really what he's saying here is there is no high like the Most High. There is no high like being high off of the Most High. Drunk on him. Consumed by him. There really is no high like that. You know, I've smoked weed. I've snorted heroin. Never did coke. PCP. Drank in excess wine and beer and strong alcohol. That's why I can tell you some things. I'm not telling you what I heard. The Most High delivered me from these things. Excuse me. He delivered me from these things. I did them. He kept me, you know, I'm in the military. If I had gotten busted, it was a federal crime, not just a state crime or a local crime. It was a federal crime. I couldn't hold a license to do anything in most states. That's why a lot of our brothers, when they get felonies, it relegates them to third-class citizens. Third-class citizen is a slave. And by the Constitution, it's legal. So a lot of our people are you know, running around with felonies and can't do certain things because the felony is preventing them from doing it. Because as a slave, you have no rights. And so we outlawed slavery, but then we put it back into the penal system. Go look up a felony. Go look up the definition of it and what status of citizenship it relegates you to. That's why they give most of our people, for even for the slightest little simple crimes, they try to make them felonies for us. Because it changes your status from a second class or a first class citizen to a third class citizen. And that third class citizenship is slavery. So we don't have to treat you like we treat everybody else. We don't have to give you, the benefits that we give everybody else. We don't have to allow you to work. We do it to ourselves. And a lot of times as young men or young women, you know, we get caught up. We don't understand or know about the ramification of all these things. And then all of a sudden we're tied up in the system. And we go and do something. We went and bought too many drugs. And now they say, oh, you had the intent to sell. Whether you did or not, it looks like you had the intent to sell. So now we're going to hit you with this felony. Oh, you were carrying a weapon because the crowds, the scene, that you know, the who you run around with, you wasn't planning on robbing nobody, but you thought you needed it for protection. And they bust you with it. Now you got a felony. Or you pull it out and you use it. And now you're strapped with this. So we got to understand that we are not to be filled in excess with anything in this world, but with the Spirit of the Most High. Can't be getting drunk and high all the time. If you want to get drunk, you want to get high? Get high or drunk off the Most High. Be filled with Him. Trust me, you won't have a hangover. You won't be hugging no toilet. You won't have a headache. There's no high like the Most High. I'm here to tell you. And I've been on some things, and I know. There is no high like Him. There's no feeling like the feeling He can give you. Speak to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to Yah. I can't sing. I can't carry a note in a bucket. But I love singing to the Most High. You know, I'm by myself where I'm sitting here studying and listening to those who can sing and singing with them. Because it's something about praising Him and worshiping Him and singing melodies to Him that does something for my spirit. That causes me to re-experience that high that I had with Him from the very beginning when He first filled me with His Spirit. So sing songs to Him. Praise His holy name as His disciple. Know why you sing to Him. Know what makes you feel good. pour yourself out to him. Out of your own spirit, pour yourself out to him. Why? Because you love him. You want to tell him and let him know how much you love him. Why you love him. Giving thanks always for all things unto Elohim and the Father in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Elohim. Not in the fear of your brother or your sister. But we submit ourselves one to another in fear of Elohim. He said, this is what pleases me. That you take care of each other. That you genuinely love one another. How are you going to tell me you love me whom you have not seen? And hate your brother or your sister who you can see? You're going to say you love the invisible that you can't really prove exists to anyone else. You can be, most I can be real to you, but you can't say, see, there goes Elohim right there. There he is walking. Can you see him? Can you hear him? But you got your brother or your sister over there right in front of you. And you can't show genuine love? Can't submit yourselves one to another? This is what pleases him. This is what's acceptable to him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto Yah. It's a mouthful. That's why I said the husband was never told to beat his wife into submission. He was never given that authority. Rulership does not mean that. Your wife is your equal. She's the other half of the equation. If you have multiple wives, then they're all your equals. You split up into more pieces. And the Most High never said to beat them into submission. But he tells them to what? Submit themselves to their own husband as unto the Most High. So wife, how you treat your husband, how you submit yourself to him, that's also the same way that you submit to the Most High. I pray we can hear this. For the husband is the head of the wife. You're a true disciple of the Most High. You're a true disciple of Mashiach. This is what's acceptable to him. This is what's pleasing to him. And so we have to do those things out of fear of him. Not that you fear your husband or you fear your wife. All of your service has to come from your fear of the Most High. I'm faithful to you because I fear the Most High. I fear what he's going to do if I'm not. I fear where I'm going to end up at because I know what is his will. He says, husbands, submit yourselves, or wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. You chose this man. You married him. Submit yourself to him as you would submit to me. So when we go to before the Most High and he says, did you submit yourself to me? Well, yes, Most High. Well, how come you didn't treat your husband like this? How come you treated your husband like that? How come you did not let him be your head when I made him your head? You didn't submit to me. You did what was right in your own eyes. Because I told you to submit to him like you submit to me. That's why it's very important that for our young ladies, for our men too, but for our young ladies, because they're the ones that are told to submit themselves Your husband is told to submit to the Most High. He's told to submit himself to you as well. Find out what you need. But in the relationship, as a disciple of Messiah, he says the woman is to submit herself to her husband as unto Yah. So however you submit yourself to your husband, that's the same way you submit yourself to the Most High. And if you're going to fight with your husband concerning a thing and you're not going to let him have rulership or headship, you do the same thing to the Most High, just not openly. It's a contradiction in the scriptures, in the way we behave. The Most High says, submit as unto me. Submit yourself to this man as unto me. And then we say, I don't know if I can submit to him that way. Then you are in disobedience. Because this is a commandment from the Most High. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ or Mashiach is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. Not in some things. Not in what, you know, we're willing to give up. Because, you know, we come out of some things. We come out of some situations. We're taught some things. You know, we went through something, or our mother went through something, and what the mother went through, she passed to the daughter. This is what I've learned, and this is what I think is best, and this is why I feel that you should conduct yourself, and if you conduct yourself this way, it'll keep you safe. But is it the will of the Most High? That's the way that they learn to cope. And it may not have been based upon the word of the Most High. And now all of a sudden, it is your doctrine, your belief, your standard. But it is contrary to the will of the Most High. It is contrary to what he says to do. So then now you got a decision to make. Well, had I known this before I married this man, I wouldn't have married him. Well, you did, though. And he's not perfect, and neither are you. But as you know to do better, you have to do better. Can't say I know and then I'm not going to do it. But then Yah says, okay, that's why my wrath comes upon the children of what? Disobedience. I've already told you how to behave in these situations. You got married. You chose to marry this man. You chose to marry this woman. Then I have expectations if you call yourself my disciple. I have expectations of you. And if he's wrong, I'll deal with him. Don't you try to correct him if he's wrong. Because I said submit yourself to him as unto me. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ, as Mashiach, also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the man, that's his commandment. This is what pleases the Most High. For a husband to love his wife, even in her frailty, even in her weaknesses. I'm not going to make you submit. I could make my wife and my whole household, but especially my wife, my other half, I could say, you know what? Yeah. This is what the Most High has shown me, and this is what you're going to do. But I already know if it ain't coming from our heart, the Most High don't want it. If she's not submitting to me as unto him, then she's really in a rebellious state. And she can say, oh, whatever. It's not up to me to beat her into that submission. Just as Christ accepted me in my weakness, he says me to love her the same way, accept her in her weakness. He's going to be the judge. So he's going to look at me and say, did you love her like I loved you? While you were yet in your sin, did I not die for you? Did I not lay down my life for you? When you were contrary to me, did I not die for you? Did I not express my love for you? Did I not make provision for you? Love your wife the same way. And he's going to look at her. Did you serve him as you would serve me? We have to answer for those things, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. We have to answer for those things. So, husband, did you love her like I loved you? That you would lay down your life for her? That you would teach her? That you would explain this word to her? And when she read these scriptures, and I told her to serve you, like she serves me. If she don't serve you like she would serve me, then she really didn't serve me. That's why he says to count the cost. That's why we have to teach our young men and our young women these standards. Can't come to the Most High with any and everything and all kind of craziness and then expect a positive judgment when you are out of his will, when you don't know what pleases him. And then we want to do all kind of foolishness and craziness and then try to justify it, that, you know, we're a good person, but we are outside of his will. We haven't found out what pleases him, what's acceptable to him. I told you that the thought of foolishness is sin to me. And you thought, was thinking some foolish stuff, and then you did some foolish stuff, but then you want to claim you love me. So those things don't work for me. So when I told you, woman, to submit yourself as to your husband as unto me, and you didn't do it, your behavior, no matter what you might think, is not acceptable to me. That's how you would serve me. How I see you serving your husband, that's how you would serve me. That's what it tells me. You in rebellion against your husband? You trying to usurp authority over him? You trying to impose your will upon him? You're not being reasonable. If he's taking the honest, making an honest attempt to include you, but you want your way because, you know, it's your way or the highway, the Most High says, I will even reason with you. I will sit down with you and discuss, you know, what is acceptable and what's not. Now, if you married a man that's ungodly, unclean, filthy, a fornicator by nature, every skirt he see, he's looking, but, you know, he don't want you to know he's looking, but he's looking because that's his nature. You want to try to justify it? Then that's who you marry. Let your chaste conversation, let it, your life be the standard that Most High says, well, you know what? She's serving you the way that she serves me, and she's serving me with her whole heart, and she's serving you with her whole heart, and you are the one that is the mess up in this relationship. Then the Most High would deal with him. And when you go for judgment and he calls you both up because you're one, woman, did you submit yourself to him like you would to me? I see that you did. Go ahead and enter in, because y'all not married now. Ain't no marriage here. You're not going to enter into my kingdom as husband and wife. You're going to enter into my kingdom as brother and sister. Just like you're going to enter into my kingdom with your children as not father and mother, but brother and sister. After you die, those titles, father and mother, sister and brother, husband and wife, I can't say brother and sister, husband and wife, they go away. You're no longer married. One of you die, you're no longer married. And when you come into the kingdom, that's not your husband and that's not your wife anymore. That's your brother and your sister in Christ. While you were in this flesh, that was your husband or your wife. These are the rules for husbands and wives. Wife, love your husband and submit yourself to him as unto me. That's what I'm going to judge you by. Did you do that? Husband, did you love your wife as I love the church? Did you do that? That's what I'm going to say is acceptable or unacceptable to me. As his disciples, we have to walk in these ways. And the woman's going to have to answer to the Most High, and the man is going to have to answer to the Most High. So you're looking at your husband or looking at your wife and saying, well, I can't be that way because of this. Then you keeping yourself out of the kingdom. You're the one sending yourself to the lake. Husband, no, I can't deal with her. She don't want to submit herself to me, but you married her. And Messiah said you are to love her like he loved the church. Did you do that? But we want to impose our own wills. We want to impose our own ways. We want to do other than what the Most High has said. Verse 25 and 26 again. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's why it's important that a husband teaches his wife the word, and that he is it himself. Can't teach what he doesn't know, what he hasn't studied. If he's counting on getting it from everybody else, or hearing some man teach something, and then he's going to parrot it, but it's not really who he is, then he's not going to be steadfast in the word for his wife, for his family. He's not going to be able to sanctify them and cleanse it by the word. that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, people want in on this thing, but they don't want to do what he said do. Want to continue to walk in their sin, continue to be blemished, continue to be unholy, continue to hold on to those little things that would be considered a wrinkle or a spot. Make excuses. Well, I know y'all loves me. We got an agreement. No. He says, I've told you how to get rid of those spots. I came and died for you to remove those spots. Those things you didn't know and that you had to learn, those wrinkles you are supposed to have ironed out. You're supposed to have learned and straightened them out. So he says that he might present to himself a glorious church, a glorious body, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it. Because that's all he knew. Even as Yah, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined to his wife. And they shall be one flesh. This is how I want this female half of the flesh to act. This is how I want this male half of the flesh to act. This is what I'm going to judge you on. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So it's very important that if you call yourself a disciple of Mashiach, that you behave in this way. Can't be contrary to this. It's real simple. Wife, submit yourselves to your husband, your own husband, as unto Yah. Husbands, love your wives like Mashiach loved the church. He's your example. So while the church was yet in sin, in transgression against him, doing those things that were contrary to him, he still laid down his life. I love you that much that even though you ain't obeying me, woman, and you not and you contrary to me, and you give me grief and headaches, I'm going to lay down my life for you. I'm going to give my all. I'm willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice. This life that I have in this body is all that I have. If I don't have nothing else and I'm still living and breathing, I'm still alive in this world. If I give that up, then I've stepped into eternity and I've paid the ultimate price with my life, literally, for your protection. The mentality that the Most High says the man is supposed to have toward the woman. Now, she will read that and say, well, you don't give me that, so I'm not going to submit myself unto you as unto the Most High. then condemning herself. You see how it's a yin and a yang? It's both of them. And each of us is responsible for our part. That's why he says, you do this out of fear of the Most High. So I'm going to submit myself to my husband as unto Yah because I fear Yah. I'm going to reverence my husband because I fear Yah. He told me to do this. Girl, why do you go through that stuff with that man? Why do you wait on him hand and foot like that? Because Yah told me to. This is what I would do for Yah, so this is what I'm doing for him. Man, why you let your wife get away with all that? Why you let her do this and that? Why do you say one thing, you say go right, she goes left? Why you keep her? And that's what Yah told me to do. When I was going against Mashiach and when I was doing those things that were contrary to him, he still laid down his life for me. He still made a way for me. I chose this woman. So I'm obligated to love her this way. These are the things that Yah will judge you by. These are the things that he has said, this is acceptable to me. So I pray that we can hear the word of the Most High on this morning concerning our discipleship. In our marriages, in our relationships. This is why it's critical that we teach our young men what is acceptable, what is the acceptable will of Yah concerning these things. This is why we have to teach our young women. This is what is the acceptable will of Yah as far as if you take a husband, if you accept the hand of a man in marriage, that's why I told you that we can't be making these things up. We can't be saying coming into covenant relationship, saying that we're married before the Most High, but we don't want to keep the standards of the Most High. So we write our own contract, and this is what's acceptable to me, and that's what's acceptable to you, and this is what we agree upon, and these are the reasons we can get divorced. And now we're married before the Most High. No, hell you're not. You married in the sight of men and yourselves. Because the Most High has his own standards. And he says, if you come into a covenant relationship with me and you're saying you're my disciple, I've told you how to act as a man and a woman, as a husband and a wife. And if you enter into this relationship, you got to uphold these standards. It's not about you anymore. You have a higher power that you are answering to. So for all the ladies that are listening, because I know this it requires a supreme, humble humility pill, hard to swallow. But whoever your husband is, your responsibility is to submit yourself to him as unto Yah. Bite on that. Chew on it. Consume it, because this is what the Most High is going to judge you by. This is what is his will. This is what is acceptable to him. Doesn't matter what you thought. Doesn't matter how you were raised. Doesn't matter what you were taught. Once you read these words and hear it and understand that this is what is acceptable, the acceptable will of the Most High. If you can't do this, any young lady out there, if you can't do this, then don't get married. Because the Most High said you are to submit yourself to your husband as you would to him. And if you got a problem with that, then don't marry. That don't mean that you can just find you a lover, somebody that's going to scratch that itch. That's the cost. Husbands, all the men out there, all the young men, whomever you take as a wife, understand that she's not going to be perfect either. And she will more than likely have to grow into this. And while she's growing into it, you're supposed to be growing into the stature of Christ. But you are commanded to love her as Christ loved the church. The church was not and is not perfect. Supposed to be growing in perfection, learning how to be perfect. That's not meaning that, hey, the church, once it knows what's right, it's supposed to do that which is right. Not supposed to be willfully sinning. What they don't know, Most High says, you can bring that to me and confess it, and I'm sure and just to forgive you. So he's not saying that you got to take this woman and she knows right from wrong, but she always continues to do wrong. But until you teach her, till y'all sit down in the Word and then you start walking in it too, you're not perfect, but you're to love her as Christ love the church. And you are required to give yourself to her, even to the point of laying down your life for her. That's what you're going to be judged on. Can't say, oh, well, you know, nah, I just want a booty call, and I'll pay for your nails, and I'll pay for your rent, and I'll come by and see you when I can, but you my wife now because we slept together, and I want to claim you as a wife, but I don't think I'm going to give up my life. I don't think I want to lay down my life for you. Says no. So understand that those are the things that the Most High requires to be his disciple, a follower of him. Let's bow our head in prayer. Father Yah, we thank you for your word on this morning. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for, Father, showing us what is your will and what's acceptable to you. You define these relationships, and you say, if we come into relationship with you as your disciple, This is how you expect for a husband and a wife to treat each other. This is the standard by which you will judge us. And Father, we hold up that standard. We will live by your word and by your judgments, for they are true and just. Thank you, Father, for giving us clarity that we should not have to guess in these things. But that we should know what is your true and your perfect will, what is acceptable to you in these matters of our discipleship. Help us, Father, to achieve perfection in your eyes. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. All right, on this evening, I've decided that we are going to, you know, just praise the Most High, and we'll have open phones. No particular topic. We won't meet tomorrow for spiritual wellness. I'm going to take that time and go out and try to finish up this shed. I only have the roof and the doors left to do. And I need to get this done because it's holding me up on some other things. So we're going to have open phones, spiritual wellness on this evening. And I pray that you call in and that you, you know, call in to participate. It's always good to speak to the brothers and the sisters, that we have a forum that, you know, we can talk to each other. So join us on this evening. We will do spiritual wellness tonight. And we will have open phone, open conversation. Bring your praise. Bring your testimony. Bring whatever you want to talk about. May the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
Baptized, get dumped. I feel with the Ruach working now, I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishra, got good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing His praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and His kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall.